Okay. Heaven come down to earth, the supernatural in the lives of the saints. What is possible for us? Okay, what is possible? As we're going to look at, what is possible for us? The Catholic Church has always taught the saints are models for us of Christian living. The motto is, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. That's what St. Paul said, and that's always been the motto of the saints. That's their rallying call. The Catechism states that it's not merely by the title of example that we cherish the memories of those in heaven, that would be the saints. We seek rather that by this devotion to the exercise of fraternal charity, the union of the whole church in the Spirit may be strengthened, exactly as Christian communion among our fellow pilgrims brings us closer to Christ. So our communion with the saints joins us to Christ, from whom as from its fountain and head issues all grace and the life of the people of God itself. So in other words, the saints are not just simply people to be revered or even asked for intercession, but rather people to be imitated. That's the nature of a saint. Remember, keep this in mind, they weren't saints while they were living here on earth. Okay. Some of them were far from it, right? Okay. But it's what they became as they opened their lives to the power of the Holy Spirit that the church looked back over their whole lifetime and said that these people are worthy of imitation. Not just simply prayer to them, but imitation of them. And that's, I believe, the saints help us to open, as it were, heaven's window to the supernatural breaking into our life. Okay, let's take a look at letter A, the life of miracles. Why miracles? Miracles burst into ordinary human activities with the revelation of the supernatural realm. To welcome and experience divine revelation is what we were made for. We were made for that. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talk about how God made us in his image and likeness. Well, God is supernatural. God is spiritual. And he made us like him. So for heaven to break into our lives, when you think of miracles, we're not just thinking of healing, but we're thinking of all kinds of signs and evidences of God breaking into our lives in miraculous ways. That's what we were made for. That's what we were created for. The saints, many of them mystics, were vessels of miracles. They help us to see windows to the supernatural. They show us what happens when God touches human life and human beings. The saints were the ones, and the mystics are the ones who took seriously John 14, which says that Jesus said, these works I do, and you shall do even greater works than these. So they took literally that was possible for them. Again, I'd like you to think of the saints as not some people that we revere at a distance, but rather they show us how to live. That's the true meaning of a saint, according to the teaching of the Catholic Church. There's someone whom we are devoted to, yes, but also imitate by their example. A saint, then, is a mystic, penetrates deeply into the mysteries of Christ's death and resurrection. By baptism, listen to this carefully, all Christians are mystics. Yet practically many of us have yet to pierce deeply into the mysteries of Jesus' death and resurrection. In other words, the saints lay hold of the victorious life and power of Jesus that flowed from his cross and resurrection. They understood that in a way that captivated their life and changed their life. They saw that what Jesus did through the cross and resurrection was indeed, he made his life possible for all of us by breaking into our lives. That's why Pat began her teaching with the sign of the cross and what the implication of the sign of the cross was for our life, because the sign of the cross, implying the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, truly opens the door for the supernatural to break into our life. The mystics then, verses number 4, practice the renewal of the mind and therefore close and intimate with God. They practice getting rid of all clutter in their hearts. They replace the fleshly, worldly desires of the heart with a longing for God and a reliance on his word. One of the keys to the saints being able to allow the Lord to work supernaturally in life is they learn to get rid of the clutter in their life. They learn to put to death the flesh. That's why Pat's teaching about the sign of the cross, and every time we make it, we say we belong to Jesus, and I put to death all the self-indulgence in my life. But the cross is a victory over that self-indulgence. It says that Jesus is saying, look, I died so that you could be free of all this stuff. If you would just believe it and expect it, you would be a different person. You know, and that's what the saints show us. And so the power of the cross and also the resurrection which when you hear the when we hear us saying the cross, we're talking about the cross slash resurrection. Okay, it's, the Catholic theology does not separate the two, and the key understanding of that is, of course, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter vigil. You won't just celebrate one of them, okay, and forget about the other two. Okay, so let's just do Good Friday. Oh no, we got to do the Easter vigil too. Okay, well, let's just do the Easter. No, we got to do Good Friday also. So it's the passion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that makes up this, what we call the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising of Jesus. The saints then, number five, were lovers of God. With their whole being, they poured love into actions and signs, and wonders followed. Compassion for people was the environment for miracles. So two principles here. The first principle is they learned to see that in the death and resurrection of Jesus was the supernatural power that God wanted to bring into our daily life. That's the first principle. The second principle is that they got rid of the clutter in their heart. And again, that was a process, ongoing. That's what we mean by the renewal of the mind. The third principle is that they had great compassion for people, which was the conduit, if you would, of the signs and wonders, the miracles of God's presence. The mystics in number six, I mean, by the way, Romans 5, it's a wonderful passage. It says that God has poured into our hearts the Holy Spirit of love. So it's the agape love he's poured into our hearts. That's what the saints understood. They allowed this compassionate, agape, unconditional love of the Father for people to flood their hearts. And that became the conduit for miracles. Now, so if you want to be somebody in which the Lord supernaturally breaks into your life, be a person that loves other people, and be a person that shows compassion to other people. Be a person who just wants to unconditionally love other people, and then you'll be a vessel for miracles, So, number six, mystics do not work miracles, signs, and wonders. This is the fourth principle. Rather, they stay close to Christ who produces great miracles in and through them. They are friends of Jesus, and their personal relationship with him gives them security, ask for favors, and expect to receive them. You see, it isn't like, okay, Lord, do a miracle here. It's like, Lord, we're friends. And my relationship to you, you're the vine, I'm the branch. My personal relationship with you is such that you're just going to work miracles through me. That's the nature of Jesus, is to work miracles, to do signs and wonders. But it implies that I'm a friend of Jesus. It implies that I cultivate a personal relationship with him. It implies that I truly am the branch attached to the vine, and I learn daily to cultivate that personal relationship. Because when that personal relationship isn't there, then what happens is the Lord is really limited as to what he can do through me, particularly with the signs and the wonders. And again, all the saints were friends of Jesus. That's one of the characteristics of all the saints. They were lovers of Jesus. They were friends of Jesus, I mean, Teresa of Avila, you heard me tell this story before. She was riding on her horse one day. She was reading her Bible, and something happened where the horse found something in the road and literally threw her off the horse into a puddle of mud, And in her joking, jovial way, she looked up to heaven and said, Lord, this is how you treat your friends, No wonder you had so few of them, So, again, and she didn't believe that God caused the horse to throw up. What she's saying is that's the friendship that she had, that casual, but yet she called him the majestic one. Majesty, she always addressed Jesus. So there was a deep reverence for him, an obedience to him, but yet this familiarity with him, that she could talk like that. See, they were the friends of Jesus. And again, I can't stress this principle enough. Mystics do not work signs and wonders and miracles. Rather, they stay close to Christ who produces great miracles in and through them. That's the key, if you want to know about miracles. Number seven. The mystics experience a foretaste of heaven. They experience heaven breaking into their earthly lives. Heaven has come down to earth. They help us to see and experience the supernatural as natural to earthly living. The supernatural is not the exception. It's the norm for these people, as we'll see in some of the stories I'm going to tell in just a moment. It's the norm. They expected heaven to come down. They expected heaven to visit. They expected God to show forth his majesty and his glory in situations. It was normal to their lifestyle. Okay. And number eight, the mystics emphasized the power of the cross. We heard a lot about the cross already. The mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection consumed many of them. They invoked the power of the cross, and wonders occurred. Okay. Now, let me just stop there because I want to tell some stories about the saints. Okay. First guy up is Martin de Porres, lived in 1579 to 1639. You might characterize Martin de Porres as a forerunner of the modern-day social activists. He single-handedly took his monastery and transformed it into a service center. Okay, he distributed food, clothing daily to hundreds of people. He made it kind of a prototype of a modern-day clinic by inviting the sick to come, and then they had their diseases cured. They came in droves, and Martin raised vast sums of money that he gave to the poor. Once, for example, he was able to raise money, so much money for 27 impoverished girls to give them dowries for their weddings. So you can imagine how much money that was. He arranged for his whole staff, he said, that to be able to take in people who were travelers without any expense to them at all. Now, what was his confidence? That the Lord was a provider. Yeah. And yet, look at this love. This is one of the principles of that we heard. This great compassion for people. This great love for people. This was the conduit, the vessel for the signs and the wonders, the miracles that occurred. Let me give you a story of that. First of all, Martin had a deep love for medicine. Medicine wasn't as advanced as you imagine that day, but whatever advancement it had, he loved it. And as a child, he grew up learning the arts, the medical arts. So much so that if he was living today, he probably would be a medical doctor. And so what happened was he would study the medical arts during the daytime, and at night he'd spend his night in prayer. And so he'd be caring for people, he'd be studying medicine during the day, finding out natural cures and herbs to be able to care for people. And then at night he'd be praying for people. Well, what happened was Martin would give the medical herbs and so on to help people, but he would always pray with people to be healed. And the Lord gave him words of knowledge. He gave them gifts of healing to cure the sick. Sometimes the miracles happened so directly through Martin's prayers that he became rather self-conscious of that, didn't want to draw attention to himself. This is another principle for the saints that we'll see. And so what he would do was he would lay hands upon a person, they get well, and he would give them some herbs, pretending that it was the herbs that really did it, because he didn't want to draw attention to himself. These people like him and others, as we'll see in a moment, did not want to draw attention to themselves. I can't stress all the more, one of the secrets of working signs and wonders is to maintain a posture that's very low and out of the way. In other words, don't draw attention to yourself. That was the secret of the saints. Now, Martin one day visited a woman who was diagnosed with a life-threatening hemorrhage. The poor lady was so upset, so anxious, that Martin continually had to assure her that she would not bleed to death. When he prayed for her, the Lord revealed to him that she would recover. And then, in a feeble effort to conceal his miraculous powers, what he did was he gave the sick woman an apple and said, "Eat it. This will make you better." But what happened was, it was really the prayer he prayed for her that restored her to health and stopped the bleeding. She, in a few days, returned to perfect health. Martin de Porres shows us a couple things I think is helpful. The first is, he shows us that a deep compassion and love for people, you know, so much that he turned his monastery into a service center. Secondly, he had a deep understanding and love that the natural sciences, like medical sciences, could be used to make people well, but it was combined hand in hand with the supernatural presence of God. Thirdly, he invoked the presence of God to heal people. And fourth principle we learn from Martin is he stayed with a low posture. He didn't want to draw attention to himself, you know, at all. He definitely wants the glory to be given to Jesus, and Martin did everything in his power to keep a low profile.